Check, check. It is 5:36. Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, August 5th, 2025 hybrid in-person and virtual meeting of the San Francisco Entertainment Commission. My name is Ben Lyman. I'm the commission president. We'll start with announcements.
Good evening. We would like to start the meeting with a land acknowledgement. We, the San Francisco Entertainment Commission, acknowledge that we are on unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land, in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. This meeting is being held in hybrid format, with the meeting occurring in person in City Hall Room 416 and available to participate in or view on Microsoft Teams or listen to by calling 1-415-906-4659. Using meeting ID 9098-7845, followed by pound or the hashtag symbol. We welcome the public's participation during public comment periods. There will be an opportunity for general public comment at the beginning of the meeting, and there will be an opportunity to comment on each discussion or action item on the agenda. Each comment is limited to 3 minutes. For those attending remotely, the Commission will hear up to 20 minutes of remote public comment total for each item. Because of the 20-minute time limit, it is possible that not every person in the queue will have an opportunity to provide a remote public comment. Remote public comment from people who have received an accommodation due to disability will not count towards the 20-minute limit. Public comment will be taken both in person and remotely by video or call-in. For each item, the Commission will take public comment first from people attending the meeting in person, and then from people attending the meeting remotely. For those attending in person, please fill out a speaker card located at the side table or the podium. Come up to the podium during public comment, state your name, any affiliations, and then state your comment. You'll have 3 minutes. Once finished, please hand your speaker card to the Commission staff behind the podium. If using Microsoft Teams to speak, select the raise hand option when it's time for public comment. If calling by phone, dial *5 to be added to the speaker line when your item of interest comes up. When you're asked to speak, you unmute yourself by hitting *6. Please call from a quiet location, speak clearly and slowly, and turn down your television or radio. Alternatively, we recommend that you use Microsoft Teams audio or a telephone for public comment. You may submit a written public comment through the chat function. Please note that commissioners and staff are not allowed to respond to comments or questions during public comment.
All right, Director Weiland, let's do a roll call.
President Blyman.
Here.
Commissioner Davis.
Here.
Commissioner Poggio.
Here.
Commissioner Thomas.
Here.
And Commissioner Schlander.
Here.
All right, the next agenda item is number 2, which is general public comment. Does anybody from the public wish to speak on any items that are not listed on the agenda?
There's none.
All right, we'll close general public comment. We can go on to number 3, which is approval of the meeting minutes for July 15th, 2025. I'm going to start with public comment. Is there any public comment on the meeting minutes?
There is none.
All right, we'll close public comment. Is there a motion?
President Blyman, we did receive, Deputy Director Azevedo forwarded me just before this hearing an email from a member of the public who I believe is here tonight, just asking about the minutes and noting that there were no comments noted in public comment under Castle SF relative to Mr. Tene and his representation, John Grail, being in attendance. That's because they were ownership. So we could leave it as is, or you could make a friendly amendment to the minutes so that I can list their attendance within that item.
Anybody have strong opinions? It's a confusing one because he's listed or was as an owner, but there's some discrepancies there.
I move that we amend the minutes as noted by the executive director.
Will do.
And approve them?
And approve and then approve the amended.
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, we can vote.
Okay, President Vlaiman.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
And Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
All right, the minutes have been approved, and we can move on to number four, which is the report from our executive director, Wieland.
Thank you, President Vlaiman. I have a very brief update for you all this evening. This is just calendar reminders, and I'll be sure to remind everybody via email as well. But just also noting for the public that our regularly scheduled hearing on August 19th is canceled. Also, our hearing on September 2nd is canceled in lieu of Labor Day holiday. So we won't be meeting again as a commission body until Tuesday, September 16th. So I look forward to seeing you then, and just feel free to reach out to myself or staff in the interim if you need anything.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on the executive director's report?
There is none.
All right, we'll close public comment. We can move on to number five, which is a report from Senior Inspector.
Thank you, President Vlaiman. Good evening, commissioners. We have received 118 311 complaints since our last commission hearing on July 15th. I have quite a few updates below. Please let me know if you have any questions. My first update is about Barbies located at 4541 Mission Street, who does not hold any permits with our office. On Saturday, July 12th, we received a 311 sound complaint about Barbies at 4:50 p.m. And Inspector Young Rice responded to the complaint at 11:45 p.m. that night. Upon arrival, the front door was open. The internal sound curtain was closed and a DJ was performing inside. Barbie's had a one-time event permit, but has since used all 12 permissible dates for the year. Due to management being aware that permits are required for entertainment operations, Barbie's was issued a citation for continue to operate without EC permits. My next update is about Gallinette, located at 3554 Taraval Street, who holds an LLP with our office. On Sunday, July 13th, Inspector Young Rice responded to a 311 complaint at 6:30 p.m. When he arrived, he observed the one-year anniversary party of Gallinette occurring on the sidewalk outside of the restaurant, which included an outdoor DJ and two PA speakers playing music toward the intersection. Inspector Young Rice reported that the volume of the DJ was a bit loud, exceeding ambient at a distance of 100 feet. But more importantly, Gallinette's LLP does not permit outdoor entertainment activity. Ownership was reminded that the EC cannot tie outdoor entertainment to a brick and mortar permit unless there is a parklet and or a patio, which this business does not currently have. Gallinette's management was advised to apply for one-time outdoor event permits to ensure that they also obtain the proper permits from the Department of Public Works for sidewalk obstruction or NTA street use. Gallinette was issued a notice of violation for operating without proper permitting. My next update is about Neck of the Woods, located at Clement Street. I think it's 406 Clement Street. Who holds a POE with our office? Inspector Young Rice responded to a 311 complaint on Saturday, July 12th at 9:02 p.m. Upon arrival, he observed the front door halfway open with the DJ performing downstairs and another group performing upstairs. He took a sound measurement that showed the volume of the DJ to be compliant, but the group upstairs was at 92.1 dBA, 106.3 dBC, while approved limits upstairs are 91 dBA, 102 dBC. Neck of the Woods was issued a notice of violation for exceeding the allowable sound limit and having the door open during entertainment. My next update is about Castle, located at 550 15th Street, who has applied for a POE and EHP permit on tonight's agenda. On Saturday, July 19th, Inspector Young Rice conducted a compliance check at Castle SF at 2:30 a.m. after seeing online advertisements for a late night event at this location. Upon his arrival, he observed a large line of people outside, roughly 60-70 people who paid cover charge for entry. Inside, he observed pre-recorded music coming from a USB stick plugged into a DJ deck, with a person occasionally wearing headphones and acting as the DJ from behind the deck. Inspector Young Rice noted that he did not see any alcohol for sale or being consumed inside the venue, but did see non-alcoholic beverages available for purchase and being consumed. He spoke with an owner and noted that Castle did not have a fire assembly permit. The owner then acknowledged that there were more than 49 people inside of the venue. Furthermore, Castle does not have an extended hours premises permit to host an event after 2 a.m. As such, Castle was issued a notice of violation for operating without permits. My next update is about the Blue Light, located at 1979 Union Street, who holds an LLP with our office. On Saturday, July 19th, we received a 311 complaint at about 11:15 p.m., to which Inspector Young Rice quickly responded at 11:30 p.m. Upon arrival, the front door was open and a DJ was performing inside the bar. Inspector Young Rice spoke with the door person and let him know that the live entertainment must end by 11 p.m. per the Blue Light's LLP permit conditions, and that the door must be closed during this entertainment. The door person acknowledged that the DJ was supposed to stop at 11, but forgot to do so and transitioned to pre-recorded music before the inspector left. Blue Light was issued a citation for operating entertainment after 11 p.m. with the door open. And as a reminder, last month, Blue Light received a citation for the same violation. Ownership was advised that per Municipal Police Code Article 15.1, we observed three permit violations within a 90-day period. The Entertainment Commission director or their designee has the ability to administratively suspend a permit for up to 15 days. The Blue Light received one more citation before September 17th this year. We will have grounds to suspend the permit. Our next update is about 620 Jones, located at 620 Jones, who holds an LLP with our office. On Saturday, July 26th, we received five 311 sound complaints about 620 Jones. Inspector Adams arrived at 6:15 p.m. and heard bass as he approached the venue. Upon arrival, he observed an outdoor DJ performing for a large crowd. He took a reading, which measured 90.2 107.8 dBc, exceeding the approved outdoor special event limit of 82 dBA 91 dBC. Inspector Adams worked with the general manager for about 45 minutes to reduce the volume, but the lowest level they could achieve was 86.8 dBA 99.9 dBC. Inspector Adams noted that the mix was very bass heavy, and reducing the bass without affecting overall volume proved difficult and was ultimately unable to bring the volume into full compliance before he left. He noted the use of subwoofers combined with the new four-point sound system may make it difficult to stay within approved levels at future events. Jones was issued a citation for operating above approved sound limits. My final update is about Phoenix Hotel, located at 601 Eddy Street, who holds a POE with our office. Inspector Adams responded to a 311 sound complaint about the outdoor event at Phoenix Hotel / Chambers on Sunday, July 27th at 4:50 p.m. Upon arrival, he could hear bass and music from Larkin and Turk Streets, and when he entered the courtyard, he observed a DJ performing outside. Took a sound measurement, which showed the volume of the DJ to be at 90.9 dBA, 108.9 dBC, while approved sound limits are 88 dBA, 101 dBC. Inspector Adams spoke with the manager, who showed him that they were monitoring the sound every hour and they were confused as to why the volume was too loud. The manager said it must have been inadvertently turned up when the last DJ got on stage. They worked together to bring the volume into compliance. Chambered was issued a notice of violation for exceeding the allowable sound limits. Please let me know if you guys have any questions.
I noticed that we got a number of complaints about the Bhangra and Beats event, which I don't remember us getting this many complaints about previous iterations of this. And I see the note about working with them to set a limit, but did they change something about the positioning of the speakers or something this time around? Or have we been getting complaints and I just don't remember them from previous ones?
I'm happy to take that. Hi, Commissioner Thomas. We did get a number of complaints about Bhangra and Beats last year. There were more events through the series last year. This year, they only have two. So one was in July and one was is upcoming in October. The event producers worked closely with the neighbors and really took into consideration the sensitive receptors in the area. So we know about the gateway complex that's there. They changed the footprint of the event to take into consideration where those homes are located, and they shift it over a bit. So the approach that we're going to be taking is actually setting a DBA-DVC limit. The first go around at the event in July was done at not to exceed 150 feet. And there was, I think it was just a bit of a learning curve. They had a new sound engineer working who was able to bring the volume into compliance working with our inspector. But now I think that having going into the next event with an actual limit not to exceed, I'm hopeful that we should not have as many complaints. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of the advantages of doing these outdoor events in areas with, you know, that are not predominantly residential is that we, you know, it's mostly commercial businesses in the area. And so we're not disturbing any neighbors with the sound. So, yeah, I just hope we can, all the events that are being held downtown, that we can figure out how to minimize impact on the neighbors that are there and still throw all these fantastic events.
They did move all of their speakers so that they are facing away from the residences, and they're all facing south in the direction of Market Street, so no speakers are facing north.
Yeah.
But sound travels and bounces around, so.
Exactly, exactly. And all those tall buildings, it bounces sort of unpredictably sometimes. So, all right, thank you.
It seems like blue light's on their final straw here. And then also 620 Jones, it seems like we're seeing, you know, this similar folks pop up here. Just want to ask the commission, I mean, certainly blue light kind of has a hard stop, but for 620 Jones, like it does appear that sometimes they know the rules. We know that they are aware, both of them, and that they continue to kind of break the rules with regularity. So I'm not ready to call them back in here yet, but I'm pretty close for both of them. Okay, I have no further questions. Is there any public comment on the senior inspector's report?
There is no public comment.
All right, then we'll close public comment. We'll move on to number 6, which is hearing and possible action regarding applications for permits under the jurisdiction of the Entertainment Commission. I believe Deputy Director Azevedo will be starting us off with the consent agenda.
Thanks, President Blyman. Hi, everybody. I just said hi to Commissioner Thomas, but hello, all commissioners. We have 3 items on the consent agenda tonight, which include 2 indoor LLP permits for Rockwell and SNE Cafe and a one-time outdoor event permit for Downtown SF Partnerships Landing at Leedsdorf Activations. The applicants conducted outreach, and I do have a last minute addition to add that we received 1 letter of opposition for Rockwell this afternoon. The owner was copied on the email and she has already responded. So that correspondence is included in your file. At this time, I'm not recommending to move them off of consent, but of course you have that if you'd like, that option if you'd like. Otherwise, there was no opposition received for the other 2 consent agenda items, and there were no added conditions from SFPD's district station. So recommendation is to approve the consent agenda with staff recommendations.
Okay, let's open up the consent agenda to public comments. Anybody have any comments on any items that are on the consent agenda?
There is no public comment for the consent agenda.
All right, we'll close public comment. Do we have any motions?
I move the consent agenda.
Second.
We can vote.
Nice. President Blyman?
Aye.
Commissioner Davis?
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio?
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
And Commissioner Schlander?
Aye.
All right, the consent agenda has been approved, and we'll move on to our first permit application on the regular agenda. I believe Project and Communication Manager Dylan Rice will be leading.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, commissioners. The first item on the regular agenda is a one-time outdoor event permit from Union Square Alliance to host outdoor entertainment and amplified sound with extended duration on Maiden Lane between Grant Avenue and Kearney Street. The Alliance would like to host their Lunch on the Lane series with entertainment and amplified sound every Thursday through Sunday, starting August 7th, 2025 through March 2nd of next year from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. The series will include DJs and classical music ensembles to complement patrons eating lunch on the closed street. They are partnering and coordinating with Hawthorne Lounge, which also holds a one-time outdoor event permit at that location, to avoid any programming conflicts. The applicant conducted neighborhood outreach, and there were no objections from neighbors. SFPD Central Station did not respond with any recommendations, so we assume they have no issues with the permit. You'll find in your folder their permit application and their neighborhood outreach materials. Staff are recommending approval with the permit conditions you see listed in the memo. And here to speak with you this evening is Eva Schutten from Union Square Alliance.
Hello, my name is Eva. I'm the Public Realm and Events Manager at the Union Square Alliance. We're very excited to activate Maiden Lane and bring back our rather successful program from 2017 called Lunch in the Lane. The Union Square Alliance has been awarded a grant from the Office of Economic and Workforce Development to activate Maiden Lane with our common goal to increase foot traffic and bring positive experience to this iconic location. We aim to encourage social interactions and provide an outdoor space for people to enjoy their lunch, connect, and experience the unique charm of Maiden Lane while supporting local businesses on that block. As mentioned, our program would be Thursday through Sundays weekly from 2 to 5 p.m. Along with Hawthorne, we also look to partner with all other local businesses on that block, including, hopefully, Capital One Cafe, KP 49 Sandwiches, Asha Tea House, and Iron Horse. We hope to partner with them with a buy one, get one 50% off deal or a free snack with a purchase to really encourage people to come out and enjoy their lunches. Our layout is we're keeping it very simple with light bistro tables and chairs, removable planters on wheels to create a really cozy environment, and the music performances. There's a limited space for them to use that they remain outside of the fire lane, but we're confident we can make it work, keeping it very simple. And we were hoping to start August 7th. But we may be delayed a little bit pending all the permitting and confirming all our partnerships with our music and local business vendors. Our new aimed start date, I'll be honest, is September 4th. That's what we're aiming for. And we're feeling pretty confident about that one. It'll also give us enough time to market this program. A little bit more about the program overview. So the music will occur from 2 to 5 with a 30-minute break. The sound system will be set up facing the participating businesses, specifically away from the residents on Maiden Lane, to minimize any disruptions. There will be a sound technician on site to control the volume, and there will also be a site event coordinator on site every day, acting as a welcome ambassador, but also ensure the safety is maintained and to be the main point of contact for any issues. If there were to be any issues, they can either address it on the spot or they can connect with the Union Square Alliance, whose office is right there around the corner. When we did our outreach, all the businesses have the Union Square Alliance contact information, so they can also contact us directly if there's any issues. In case of an emergency and an emergency vehicle needs to pass, the on-site coordinator will be in charge. They will make sure the music stops right away. Announcements will be made, all the furniture will be and equipment will be moved out of the way. And if this were to happen, the on-site coordinator will, of course, inform the Alliance staff immediately, as well as the Alliance member services 24/7, so they can come help or call for reinforcements as necessary. Our overall goal and anticipation is to get about 50 people a day while we activate. During the weekdays, we really hope to attract those workers to come and connect and network. And during the weekends, possibly families, visitors, or tourists. We'll be measuring our success with foot traffic counters, on-site surveys, the sales reports of the local businesses, and of course, we'll capture this program with a professional photographer. I believe that overall summarizes our plan, and we're super excited. Thank you for taking the time, and I welcome any questions.
I don't have any questions. All right, you can have a seat. We'll open things up to public comment here. Is there any public comment on this application?
There is no public comment.
Closed. Do we have any motions?
I motion to approve the staff recommendations.
Seconded.
We can vote.
Okay, President Blyman.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
Congratulations, you've been approved. We'll move on to the next application. We're still on Project and Communication Manager Rice's turf here.
The next item on the regular agenda is a one-time outdoor event permit from George P. Johnson to host outdoor entertainment amplified sound with extended duration at the Workday Rising 2025 conference on Howard Street between 3rd Street and 4th Street. Workday Rising 2025 is requesting to host DJs, live music, amplified speeches, video screenings with sound, and pre-recorded background music from September 15th through the 18th, with sound checks from September 12th through the 14th. We are bringing them to a hearing because they are requesting early morning amplified sound from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. for the 15th through the 18th. During these early morning hours, the applicant would limit the activity to pre-recorded background music only, played at a lower volume. The applicant conducted neighborhood outreach and there were no objections from neighbors. We sent the application to SFPD Southern Station and they had no additional recommendations for this permit. You'll find in your folder their permit application and their neighborhood outreach materials. Staff are recommending approval with the permit conditions you see listed in the memo. For the early morning hours from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., we are recommending a sound limit of not exceeding ambient levels at a distance of 50 feet from the property plane. For all other times, including sound checks, we are recommending a sound limit of not exceeding ambient levels at a distance of 100 feet. Measured from the property plane. Here to speak with you this evening is Brad Kurtz from George P. Johnson.
Thank you very much, commissioners. My name is Brad Kurtz with George P. Johnson. I'm here representing Workday. They are back this year after a year in Vegas, taking care of things with about 20 to 25,000 attendees coming to celebrate their platform and everything that San Francisco has to offer. We've been working closely with all the members of SFMTA, just received our ISCOT permit, and we have Evolve units, weapons detection on all sides, as well as a control center inside Moscone, where we'll have individuals from SFPD, as well as the rest of the SF Fire, all relevant stakeholders. It's changed a little bit. We will not have a DJ anymore. We're just going to have a screen, which will be nice, and we'll have two PAs and the ability to change the volume as necessary. The morning request was just because they haven't figured out their programming yet. They just decided to close Howard Street 2 weeks or 2 months ago, so it's been a bit up in the air. That keeping it 50 feet, it will be much less than that. It will just be sound checks during that time. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
So the event would start at 9 a.m., but sound checks could start as early as 6 a.m. That's where the 6 a.m. time comes into play.
If you tell me something different, I can definitely change that to 7 or 8 without a doubt. But yes, we're just covering ourselves that way. They're using it for overflow of the keynote. So the keynote doesn't happen until 10 on that Tuesday. On Monday, which is just registration, they're just looking for some simple sound to be displayed on two PAs.
Sure.
I just want to say, you know, thank you for coming back to the city for this convention. I know it went to Vegas last year. I worked downtown. So, and thank you for working at as the law enforcement representative. Thank you for working with the stakeholders. I know you're working with Sergeant Dean McDonald, I imagine, and a bunch of others. So thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, no further questions. Let's open this up to public comment. You can have a seat.
Great, thank you.
Any public comment on this application?
No public comment.
All right, we'll close public comment. We can vote. We can motion.
I'd like to make a motion to approve of staff recommendations.
Second.
Now we can vote.
President Blyman.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
And Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
All right, congratulations, you've been approved. We can move on to the next application, which I believe Deputy Director Azevedo will guide us.
Thanks, President Blyman. The next permit on our agenda tonight is for a POE and EHP permit for Castle SF, located at 550 15th Street. This item was continued from our last hearing on July 15th due to some ownership information that needed to be sorted out. Since our last hearing, Chris Yaslik submitted a new POE and EHP permit application that he signed under penalty of perjury, stating that he is the sole owner of Creative Art Group, Inc. I'd like to note for the record that the corporate entity structure originally filed with the City and County of San Francisco was an S-Corp, but the filing with the California Secretary of State was an LLC. The intended corporate structure for Creative Art Group is an LLC, and the initial registration with the city as an S-Corp was a clerical error, which was corrected with the Treasurer and Tax Collector's Office today. I want to call out a few items in your folder tonight. The first is the application packet titled EC 1862 Castle SF, which are items from Mr. Yaslik. This includes the POE and EHP permit application, details about the outreach he completed, an unsigned operating agreement for Creative Art Group LLC, a filing with the California State Secretary that he is the sole owner of Creative Art Group LLC that was filed on July 14, 2025, a request to amend the lease agreement of 550 15th Street for Mr. Yaslik to be the only tenant of the space, an amended lease agreement signed by Mr. Yaslik and the landlord, and a few approved inspections required for the POE and EHP permits. Additionally, in your folder are files from submitted by the council representing Mr. Tenney, who previously was Mr. Yaslik's business partner and the other owner of Creative Art Group DBA Castle SF. These items include a letter outlining their request to amend, continue, or deny this item tonight, two filings with the California State Secretary showing Mr. Tenney and Mr. Yaslik as the owners of Creative Art Group LLC that were filed on January 6, 2025 and January 8, 2025, a copy of the filing of their fictitious business name with the City and County of San Francisco, listing Mr. Tenney as the CFO of the Creative Art Group, Inc., and an undated lease agreement signed by Mr. Tenney and Mr. Yaslik, and pictures and videos from the unpermitted event that was held at 550 15th Street on July 19th, 2025. Please note that staff have received all of the required items for a POE permit application as outlined at MPC Article 15.1, Section 1060.3. So this application may be considered as it stands during this agenda item. Regarding the application before you tonight, 550 15th Street held a POE and EHP permit under the Business Human Video Game, but it's been a while since this space has been activated with entertainment. Of note, the building they are in also houses the Great Northern, who also holds a POE and EHP permit with us. I'll let the owner elaborate on the business model, but my understanding is that he wants this venue to have a wide reach and host all types of events such as tech conferences, private gatherings, and also to be a nightclub. Under the POE and EHP permit application, they've applied for the ability to host entertainment such as DJs, comedies, karaoke's, plural, maybe singular karaoke's, I'm not sure, drag shows and dance performances with the hours Monday through Tuesday, 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Wednesday through Sunday, 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. They don't have a liquor license, but they've expressed interest in applying for a Type 90, and they'll work with a caterer for food and alcohol service in the meantime. They install the high-grade sound system in their space, and Senior Inspector Zavrina has already set an internal sound limit, which is reflected below. For outreach, they sent a letter to their neighbors, all of which are commercial, notifying them of the entertainment permits, and there was no opposition received. Mission Station had no added conditions, and here to speak with you tonight is Chris Yaslik.
Thank you guys for having me here today. My name is Chris Yaslik. I'm the CFO of Creative Art Group. Our goal is to establish a modern artistic night space that offers music, cultural programming, experience designed to celebrate diversity, creativity, and connection. The venue will support DJs, musicians, artists of all sorts, and serve as a platform for events that can uplift San Francisco's creative economy. We are committed to running this venue responsibly. All events will be professionally staffed and security, and we'll have trained personal monitoring capacity. Noise levels overall, we'll have a noise engineer in there. And we'll have a full staffed security at all times. We do not currently hold an alcohol license. Alcohol will be served through licensed permitted caterers who meet the ABC requirements. We have detailed plans in place for sound control, guest management, cleanup, emergency procedures. We also will be taking proactive steps to minimize neighborhood impacts, including limiting outside noise, cleaning and surrounding the areas, events, and monitoring smoking outside the building to ensure guests are respectful. Our team has taken the time to understand the city's guidelines and community expectations. We're fully prepared to meet those standards and build a strong relationship with our neighbors. Thank you again for considering our application, and we look forward to being a part of the community. Now, as we mentioned in the beginning, we were thinking of just becoming a nightclub, but after talking to three or four of the biggest nightclubs in San Francisco, we realized that it's the nightclub is not going to be, we're just going to be starting, and these people have been in the nightclub business for 25 to 30 years, and they're barely making it. So that's why we went into different venues I had someone reach out to me about yoga. They wanted to do yoga inside. And so that's why we're just trying to see where we're going to fit into, this venue right now.
Okay. Anybody want to lead us off with any questions?
Can you just say something about there was a unpermitted party?
Yes. And that was my fault. I'm not going to say it was a misunderstanding, but it was a total misunderstanding, because when I went to the city and I talked to the fire department and I talked to, I think, the health department, I was told as long as it's 50 and under that it was okay. That was just my understanding. And that's why when the commissioner came, we literally had clickers. I mean, there was about 60 people outside of the venue. We didn't let them in. So as one came in, the one left, we let one in. So, we had about 50. I'm not going to lie. I mean, there's probably 55 people inside. No live music. We had the USBs playing on the thing. The commissioner, I mean, if he saw, a DJ thing, I'm assuming he had to see probably the security. I apologize. We thought it was 50 people and that we can do it. That we can definitely have the party. But I understood. I mean, I talked to Kaylin, Commissioner Kaylin, the body, and
thank you.
It was we had full security though. We had about, we still at that event, we had about, close to about, like I said, like 60, 70 people outside, about 50 people inside, and we had about 6 security guards, all in there.
Yeah. So first of all, it's exciting that you're trying to do creative things. That's great. And we need more of that in the city. And it's our job to promote that and help people do that. Right. We hold, Deputy Director, how many permits do we hold?
Over 800.
And do you have a sense of ballpark of how many after hours permits there are?
Less than 85.
85. So, we have hundreds of permits that we oversee, and yes, fewer after hours. What we're always looking for here is to find out if you know, the people that we're permitting are responsible, essentially, and if they care about the rules. It is also the case that we have hundreds and hundreds of permits, and the same people keep showing up in our inspectors' reports. For I've been on this commission for 8 years, still the same people, right? Mm-hmm. They're a huge pain in the ass. They don't care. They flaunt the rules, and they make our lives miserable because our inspectors need to go visit 50 places in a night or around that. And instead, we're constantly getting called back to these people who are essentially bad actors, or at the very least don't care about what we do or respect it. So we're always trying to figure out, you know, if we're going to grant somebody a permit, great. If we're going to grant them after hours at the duration that they want, are they responsible enough to have that? Or are they going to be those people that keep coming up year over year, week after week, month after month, and make not just our jobs miserable, but also give this commission and a bad name because neighbors get really frustrated and they think that, you know, there's nothing that can be done. So we're trying to ascertain now, having done an unpermitted event, which, by the way, we did tell you not to do in the last session, or get a one-time permit or whatever you needed for it, right? And maybe it was a misunderstanding, but it, you know, it, I take, there is a gray area with a DJ, but anybody actively playing music with a, you know, with what they have, you know, it counts. And so I just want to, you know, we have to make a decision here. And obviously, you know, denying permits is rare here, but we have to consider as a commission, you know, the incredibly wide range of times that you want for your after hours permit after already showing up with, you know, putting really not your best foot forward. So
can I say something?
Please.
So one of the reasons I went there is for that, is to get the one-time permit. And that's when I was talking to
the one-time permit through our office.
Not for the office. I went because I had to get the fire assembly permit. I had to get the fire department.
Yeah.
And that was the reason I went straight to fire that day.
Yeah. So that's to have people, but to have live music comes from the Entertainment Commission.
Yeah, I know that part, you're right. The fire department said, as long as you have under 50 people or 50 and under,
what they meant is you don't need an assembly. You could,
I know. I learned that after talking to,
So I guess the question, that wasn't really a question I had, but the question is, like, how can we trust you? Like, why should we grant you this wider range of times, which potentially could be a problem if we're starting off with a lack of trust here? Like, we don't necessarily, you know, denial is one thing, but we can adjust hours at our whims on what's
allowed. So I kind of came in here and gave you a whole bunch of excuses of why, you know, what I did, or I wasn't there, or, you know, all these other things. I mean, like, you know, I'm the type, if I make a mistake, I'll let you know I made a mistake. And it won't happen again. I'm not going to keep risking it. You know, I'm not one of those things. Our other company that I have, you know, we built custom furniture for nightclubs and entertainment and hotels and stuff like that. And it's not, I mean, we're protocol throughout the whole thing. There is no cutting corners. You know, one of the reasons why we have our frame shop and our, spray shop in Fremont is because San Francisco is really hard to regulate, you know, to get permits for that stuff. And so, I mean, and I could easily do it at the corner of one of the warehouses and no one would ever know. So I'm just, you know, I know it's hard to tell you to, you know, I'm not going to say, like, trust me or, you know, to believe in me, but it's, you know, I mean, hopefully we're not going to keep having these interactions and it'll be a smooth transaction throughout the whole thing. But I'll tell you another thing is, it seems like, you know, in this industry, I'm just learning this industry a little bit more. It seems like it's the same people calling. And because we have no neighbors
So sometimes we do have neighbors who call.
We don't have any neighbors.
Yeah, but often what we're seeing is the same people who hold permits with us violating the rules over and over and over again. In fact, it's like I could count them on one and a half hands. And for 8 years, it's the same people. And it starts to obviously frustrate us. And we're always trying to make sure that we're not accidentally giving somebody carte blanche who's going to become one of those people. Yeah. Right.
Well, we did. We applied. I mean, we, you know, we had the noise level was, it wasn't over, you know, the occupancy wasn't over. It might have been a little bit over, but not by that many. The only thing that the only thing that we didn't check in was on the the entertainment part of it.
Okay.
And after talking to Caitlin, that was it. Like, we didn't continue. Okay. So
more questions for the applicant? Anyone? All right, you can have a seat. We'll open this up to public comment before we deliberate.
And then I have a question for commission staff.
Yeah. Please. Oh, public comment first. Yeah, we'll do public comment first then. Is that okay? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Laurentio Tene. I'm the co-founder and the co-manager of Creative Art Group, LLC. That is the company behind the Castle SF. So the reason why I'm here today is to formally object to the amended permit application submitted by Mr. Yazlik. I was fully involved in the early stages of this project. I signed the original lease. I registered the Castle SF. I personally registered the Castle SF DBA with the city of San Francisco. I contributed with significant funds and equipment and worked directly with the commission till June 27th. The same day, a few hours after we received the okay to move forward with the permits, I was removed from the lease and the company by Mr. Yazlik without my knowledge or consent. And since then, I've been locked out of the venue and completely excluded from this process. So this is my only way of being on record. And I want to be clear by speaking today, I'm not waiving any of my legal rights, and I will not discuss in detail the active legal case that I have with Mr. Yazlik. My attorney has submitted a letter and supporting documentation to the commission outlining the legal basis for my objection, including ownership records, business filings, and pending court actions. I just want to make sure that I'm on the record. I'm also concerned that the events were held on the July 18th and 19th without permits. Those events were held while I was denied to protect or retrieve my property. I had no involvement in those events and have reported my concerns through the proper legal channels. I respectfully request the commission to delay or deny any permit that excludes me until the legal dispute is resolved. I support the valid permit for the castle, except but only if it reflects accurate ownership and lawful management. And I want to thank the commission for its work on this case. I do want the project to succeed, but under the current circumstances, I cannot support the permit as it stands. I hope we can resolve this issue and return here with a unified path forward. A petition and requested for a TRO, temporary restraining order, are also being filed today, and we hope the courts will soon provide clarity, and I will continue to assert my rights through the appropriate legal process. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Is there any more public comment?
There is no more public comment.
Close public comment. All right, we have a number of things to deliberate about.
Yeah, I think, so my question, I think, is directed to staff. It is not our responsibility as the commission to determine issues like ownership, but given that there is ongoing legal action regarding ownership, I guess my question is it more appropriate for us to move forward just based on the sort of facts on the ground presented to us, or is it more appropriate to defer this until the legal issues related to ownership have been adjudicated by the appropriate entities.
Okay, so Director Weiland and I have met with our city attorney a couple of times regarding this matter, and what has been determined is the requirement for an application for you all to consider it is outlined in Article 15, 1060.3, and at this time, those requirements have been fulfilled. There is also simultaneously an ownership dispute, but that is seemingly outside of this body's purview to work through.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's helpful. So that means sort of we go by what's sort of written on the paper and what's presented to us in terms of does it meet the criteria for our permit on those grounds. And obviously the ownership issues are, as you said, not ours. We're not the appropriate entity to figure that out. Once that gets figured out by the appropriate entities, then that will change what their ownership or potentially not change. We don't know what their ownership status will be, but they could potentially have to come back if it involves a change of ownership. Would that be accurate? Or we're just gonna go ahead and make this decision based on sort of what they have presented to us, and if things change down the road, they change down the road.
Correct. So everything that's submitted was under penalty of perjury as being lawfully true and accurate by the applicant, Mr. Yazlik. We have to take that for what it is.
Yep.
I don't believe in this case there would be an opportunity for this to come back before you regarding ownership, unless there was a ownership change that Mr. Yazlik participated in, brought in another owner that had a majority share. And that's something that we do routinely in an ownership change.
Right. Okay. Great. Thank you.
We'd be granting the permit to the LLC, and that what makes up the LLC is not under our purview.
It is. And folks with 10% or more need to be listed on an application. Okay. But in those cases, if it's less than a majority share, it is considered a minor amendment, and those are processed administratively.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's just important to note that there is only one owner listed on this application.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, I think we should take the advice of the city attorney on this matter.
Yes. Agreed.
And then the second question is, you know, given the wide-ranging requests for after hours, specifically, do we have any thoughts on that, commissioners?
I do have a little bit of anxiety about essentially granting 24-hour entertainment, particularly since there was an unpermitted party. Although I recognize that, you know, there really doesn't seem to be many neighbors, but there were, you know, people that did complain.
Any other thoughts on that?
I mean, similarly, I sort of agree that I think we have a higher standard for after hours, extended hours permits than we do for our standard place of entertainment permits. And I'm not. Yeah, I'm concerned based on previous activities that were not in line with our permitting requirements.
And it's on both ends too for me. So the 6 a.m. start time is extraordinarily early. So essentially pushing a 24-hour venue, and then the 6 a.m. end time is extraordinarily late for what we do. I mean, I could go either way. You know, we could, there are no residential neighbors, right? And so that's maybe an opportunity to provide people an after hours venue, which we're sorely lacking. I don't know if you saw in the news, but in the last 2 weeks, I think two like incredibly illegal after hours venues were busted, one in San Francisco, one in Oakland, both of which were
filled with allegedly drugs and guns. There was a shootout in one, I believe, they apprehended a grand larceny federal suspect in the other, in the Sunset, my understanding. That's my understanding, allegedly. Suspect, I think I said, so that's good. So to me, that shows that, you know, people are looking for after hours options in the city. And when there aren't permitted after hours options, they're oftentimes willing to go to incredibly dangerous, unpermitted places. So that would make me feel a little better about granting the applicant's requests, but also, you know, it does seem it's a little fishy, some of it, right? So,
I mean, I think that to me, and I'd like your opinions on it. To me, there's a big difference between an after hours club that is open till 6 a.m. or closes at 6 a.m. and then reopens the next day at some point, even if it's just closed for a few hours, as opposed to 24 hour entertainment, where the entertainment never really has any sort of stop time. I think there's a real potential for a different vibe than just an after hours club. So that's the part of it that raises questions for me.
True. And on the other side, I agree with you. On the other side, not everybody is there, you know, at 5 to
of course.
People are still up and are like, let's go down there. It's open. You know, there's, we can dance, you know, kind of the end up vibe.
Certainly.
The old Aces, a New Year's Day vibe.
Yeah.
6.
I have a question for staff. Do we have any venues like this that are open from 6 to 6, 24 hours continuous?
Is it the end up?
With a POE? Or I'm sorry, with a after hours permit?
The media room. You all just approved the media room on Market Street, and they had a 6 to 6 request for some of the days because they are catering to international clients and doing a live stream venue setup. So that is, but it's not 5 days a week.
Also, 5 days a week of 6 to 6 seems maybe a little excessive. Maybe we could limit it to the weekends, perhaps the Friday and Saturday nights to Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I think that seems like a reasonable.
I mean, my feeling is that unfortunately this applicant did not start on the right foot, and the ownership things aside, that is not our purview, but just in the knowing you're going to come to our hearing and still having a party, whether or not you made a mistake or not, it's pretty easily ChatGPT-able to tell you that's not allowed. So I feel an impetus to restrict a little bit, and then maybe the applicant, if
we are not recommending ChatGPT for legal advice.
I'm not a lawyer. It's pretty simple. That was a pretty simple thing to screw up the week before you're going to a hearing or 2 weeks before or whatever. So I do feel I think I would feel more comfortable limiting it to the weekends, giving them a shot. If the applicant wanted to come back in a couple months after good behavior and request other days, I think I'd be open to that if they're not violating anything.
I need to just, sorry to interject, I do need to correct myself on the record. The media room, the example I just gave, mm-hmm. it actually was approved daily 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. So daily. I did just want to clarify that on the record.
When was the vote on that? Was that the last meeting or?
June 3rd.
Okay.
There also didn't draw it, an unpermitted event the moments before their hearing.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling is to limit the hours so it's not 24 hours, but I tend to be more cantankerous about things.
If they had neighbors, that's
sure. Yeah. I think that I
doing
I,
that to I, doing that for the health of people is not my jam, right? I let people be as healthy or unhealthy as they want.
That's I don't think that I'm saying that it's just a different vibe sometimes. But yes, I agree that permitting it to the weekends would be.
Feels right to me.
Right.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Do you want to bring back Mr. Yaslick to discuss?
Sure. So Mr. Yaslick,
Mr. President, can I just say something about the 6 a.m. thing?
Yeah.
The 6 a.m., I mean, we did talk to, oh, sorry. We did, you know, we talked to, you know, from 6 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Yeah.
But it's not saying we're going to throw parties, you know, from 6 a.m. all the way to 6 a.m. the next day. The reason why we wanted to do 6 a.m. during the week is literally because of the yoga. The person that called in and said he'd like to do yoga from 6 to like 9 o'clock in the morning.
With a DJ?
Well, no DJ. But he wants to use
the thing. So this is just the
DJ. Yeah, for entertainment.
This is the DJ. Yeah. So nothing's stopping you.
Well, it's an entertainment permit, but also just reminder being open 2 to 6 a.m.
From 2 to 6, but not at 6.
Right.
Not at 6 itself.
That's right. Yeah.
So nothing would stop you from having a non-DJ yoga event starting at 6 a.m.
Okay.
That's not our.
But it's not going to, I mean, we're not going to keep the party going after 6. And it's definitely not going to happen during the week. I mean, I have another job.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, like, if we can get it granted for, if we could do like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or, you know, whatever, that's fine. Whatever you guys think is fit.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. You can have a seat. I think. Okay. Any more questions for you? Okay. So I think I'm ready to motion, but tell me if you're not ready for my motion. Okay.
Ready for your motion.
Right. Okay. So I think we should approve this application. Wait, now we're thinking 6 a.m. DJ on a Monday. They want to go 6 to 2 on Monday and Tuesdays, right? Correct?
Yeah, and Sunday would be until 6 a.m. technically on Monday morning.
Got it. I'm just trying to figure out if we should limit the morning hours at all. I don't, on like the Monday or Tuesday. I don't know. I don't.
But think. If we restrict it to the Friday night and the Saturday night, wouldn't that it would just go till 2? Or do you have a problem with it?
No. So I think so. The motion I'm considering before I make it is granting the permit applicant the entertainment permit as well as the after hours permit, but the after hours permit is limited to Friday and Saturday night until 6 a.m., which I'm okay with, but the rest of the days, no after hours permit. Mm-hmm. So 2 a.m.
But no limitation to the POE. The 2 a.m. daily.
2 a.m. daily. I'm okay. There's no residential neighbors for me, so.
Yeah.
And Friday and Saturday till 6 a.m.
Yeah. But you technically mean Saturday and Sunday morning, correct?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So Friday night and Saturday night into Saturday morning and Sunday morning, not Monday morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
All right. Should I make that motion? Give it a shot. All right. So my motion to approve the permit applicant's entertainment permit and to approve their extended hours permit, limited only to Friday night going into Saturday morning and Saturday night going into Sunday morning until 6 a.m.
A second.
We can vote.
Okay. President Blyman.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
All right. It's been approved. We can move on to the next applicant.
Okay, the next permit on our regular agenda is for a Jam to Bam Place of Entertainment Permit Amendment for Harry's Bar located at 2020 Fillmore Street. Harry's has held an indoor POE with our office since 2017, and they held a jam permit for outdoor amplified sound in their parklet at the front of the business. The application before you tonight is to add the outdoor amplified sound activity to their existing POE permit, which includes playing background music, broadcasting sound from sporting events during games, and sharing audio outside from the indoor trivia nights via the speakers in their parklet and at the front of the business. They're requesting the ability to host outdoor amplified sound Monday through Thursday, 4 to 10 p.m., Friday, 2 to 10 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. The applicant distributed an outreach letter to all of their neighbors within 150 feet of the business, and there was no opposition for the permit. SFPD Northern Station had no added conditions. And here to speak with you tonight is the general manager, Jesus. President Blyman, I believe this is...
No.
Great.
No, it's the Hemlock one. Yeah.
Thank you. Great. So, Jesus, come on up. Sorry.
Thank you. My application is very simple. So, as Kevin said, we are applying for existing sound permits for a parklet. Once a week, we have a trivia, and it's pretty busy on Wednesdays. And sometimes we have to extend the sound at the parklet. And now with the NFL season, our customers, they really enjoy stay, watch the TVs and hear the sound for the TV. That is mostly where we are applying. So we have already permit inside. So I hope we can have that permit for outside. So we have a very loud sound and we respect of neighbors by the hours. If there is nothing is going on or something important, we don't play that or have the sound outside. Just in case customer requests, we do that. Thank you for your consideration.
Questions for the applicant? You can have a seat. Is there any public comment on this item? Applicant?
There's no public comment.
All right, we'll close public comment. I just want to say, so I worked at Harry's Bar from 2003 to 2006 for the same owners. His brother, maybe the greatest busboy, barback, turned bartender in the history of the world, now lives back in Mexico. They are incredibly responsible owners who care deeply about the city. So I have no problem making this motion, a motion to approve with staff recommendations.
Second.
We can vote.
Okay. President Blyman.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
All right, congratulations, it's been approved. And we can move on to number 5.
The next permit is for an LLP permit that includes outdoor amplified sound at the front of the business for Muddy Waters Coffee and Lounge, located at 521 Valencia Street. The application before you tonight includes the ability to host indoor entertainment, including pianos, small live bands, flamenco, comedy, and drag shows daily until 11 p.m., as well as outdoor amplified sound at the front of the business daily between 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., not to exceed 6 hours per day. The owner intends to keep coffee shop hours, but has also applied for a Type 41 liquor license to expand their operations into the evening. They conducted outreach by sending a letter to their neighbors located within 150 feet from the business, and no opposition was received. SFPD Mission Station had no added conditions, and here to speak with you tonight is Marco, accompanied by Kevin.
Hello, Entertainment Commissioners. Thank you for taking the time to hear the limited live performance application for Muddy Waters Coffee and Lounge. Muddy Waters is a 35-year institution and coffee shop serving strong coffee and longtime community meeting spaces. At one point, there were 3 different iterations of Muddy Waters with a coffee shop on 24th Street and on Church Street. In a personal note, I grew up going with my grandfather to get hot chocolate at Muddy Waters and seeing Najat, who still runs the counter at Muddy Waters. As you may have read about in the news, Muddy Waters has been in negotiations to turn over the longtime operations to another legacy business owner and operator, and no stranger to this commission, Marco Sangora, Bishop Balbo. This is very exciting as Marco is well equipped to continue the legacy of Muddy Waters while providing fresh air into a longtime community business. Marco is applying for a limited live performance permit at Muddy Waters to host piano, small acoustic music performances, flamenco, comedy, and it's going to be expanding its coffee menu with beer and wine, as well as extending its hours till 10 p.m. on weekdays and midnight on weekends. We're not doing extended hours or even full place of entertainment like at Marco's other business ventures. This is really going to be keeping the essence of Muddy Waters alive and well. So the vibe of Muddy Waters will be different than that of the other bars in Valencia and Marco's other business ventures, as it's not going to be a dedicated live entertainment venue, place of entertainment. Muddy Waters will continue as a great coffee shop, but also expand its hours of operations with beer and wine, acoustic music, and my favorite part, electronic payments. As you also know, Marco is an excellent operator who is among the few can boast an excellent record of staying in compliance with the Entertainment Commission for his other ventures. We look forward to your support on his item, and we're available for questions as needed. Anything, Marco?
Okay. Questions?
Nice to. I've spent many, many, many hours of my life in one Muddy Waters or another, and so I'm happy to hear that you're taking it over. So this is good news.
I was sad to see when it was closed, so I'm really excited to hear it's reopening.
Only place you can get a decent coffee on Valencia, that's what I say. All right, I have no questions. You can have a seat. Is there any public comment on this item?
There is none.
All right, we'll close public comment. Do we have any motions?
Yes, I would like to make a motion to approve with staff recommendations.
Second.
Time for this.
We can vote.
President Blyman?
You told me to ask you.
I'm so sorry.
Aye.
Okay, Commissioner Davis?
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio?
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
And Commissioner Schlander?
Aye.
All right, congratulations. It's been approved, and we'll move on to number six.
The next permit is for an LLP that includes outdoor amplified sound at the front of the business for Indigo, located at 3321 Steiner Street. Indigo is a newer California cuisine restaurant that offers eclectic cocktails. They are seeking the LLP permit so they can host indoor entertainment such as musicians, DJs, karaoke, and comedy shows, as well as outdoor low-level pre-recorded music at the front of the business Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., not to exceed 6 hours, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., not to exceed 8 hours. The owner of Indigo used a mailing service to send a letter out to their neighbors located 150 feet from the business, and I did hear from two nearby residential neighbors who had initial concerns. You'll see in your file that both folks rescinded their letters after having a really positive and productive conversation with the owner, so it's great. Senior Inspectors of RENA has already set an internal sound limit for the space, which is reflected in the staff recommendations, and SFPD's Northern Station had no added conditions. Here to speak with you tonight is the owner, Cash.
Dear members of the commission, I'm Cash. Me and my wife, we started Indigo, a modern American cuisine and cocktail restaurant in the Marina District in San Francisco. We have amazing food. Love to see you all there at some point. Our Wagyu smash burgers, people say, are one of the best in San Francisco. We have a trout al pastor on the squidding tortilla. Our cocktail, we have 8 cocktails influenced by 8 different countries. We got a temporary live music permit and had an R&B brunch with a DJ, which we had a phenomenal response from the audience, which led us to think that the people are people's preference has been changing. Food and drinks are not just a regular draw. So we're trying to get in live music, probably a person with a guitar taking song requests or comedy shows or some form of live entertainment that people are requesting or needing. So I'm asking you guys to grant me approval for the live entertainment.
Questions for the applicant? Where on Steiner are you, between Chestnut and?
Right next to Ace Wasabi.
Ah, yes. The old Ace Wasabi. I don't have any questions.
I do have a question. Is there residential above your building?
There are residents above my building. and they have my phone number, and there was an issue on the roof with respect to the hood, and they texted me, and I resolved that issue real fast, and they were really happy about it. And one of the patrons there has long, the person that I texted with has been there for about 30 years or over 30 years in that building, and she's the one that raised a concern. And the Entertainment Commission is copied in my correspondence with her, and she was very grateful for how I've been responding to her request, and she has no objection.
Nice. I'm assuming all the residents have your phone number.
I can't legally speak to that, but I passed my number to whoever I could say I did.
Yeah, I think, you know, just good as long as there's an easy way for them to find
you. Yeah.
You know, whether it's on your website or you have it posted out front, yes. Just something, an easy way.
Yes. Me and my wife, we live in the city. We live and breathe the city. We met in the city. So we are trying to build this business brick by brick, just like we're building back the city.
Nice. And what kind of bread is that on your burger?
I went through about 15 different buns before we landed on the black and white sesame seed bun, buttered and toasted.
Thank you for the information.
I'm at your service. Whatever you got, the questions you have about food and cocktails.
The truth don't comes out. We're always looking at everybody's menus. Yeah.
Our fries are hand-cut, sous vide, and double-fried. Nice. So we're very particular about our food.
I'm already making a note for Harrington's. Maybe try the black and white. You can have a seat. I don't think there's any further questions. Is there any public comment on this item?
No public comment.
All right, we'll close public comment. Do we have any motions?
I'd like to make a motion to approve with staff recommendations.
A second.
Wow, mixing it up.
We can vote.
President Blyman.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
And Commissioner Schlander.
Aye.
All right, congratulations. It's been approved. We can move on to letter J. So this is the old Hemlock, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I have business dealings with the landlord in the recent past, not recently. So I'm going to recuse myself from this just so there's no view of importunity.
Alrighty. So we are on to item J. Is this Deputy Director Acevedo?
Yes. Our final permit on the agenda. Sorry,
I am now taking over. Commissioner Thomas is now taking over to run the meeting in the President Blyman's absence.
Excellent. Our final permit on the agenda tonight is for a place of entertainment change in ownership for XCX located at 1131 Polk Street, which previously held a POE permit as the Hemlock. XCX is a new bar and club primarily offering karaoke, but would also like the POE permit to host a variety of entertainment such as musicians, bands, DJs, theater performances, comedy shows, drag shows, and fashion shows. The space is still two levels with the ability to host entertainment on either the ground floor or in the downstairs portion of the venue. The business has been operating under a temporary 90-day permit while they await the hearing tonight, and we have already set an internal sound limit for both upstairs and downstairs. Both of those sound limits are reflected in the staff recommendations below. For outreach, the owners sent a letter to their commercial and residential neighbors notifying them of the POE permit application, and there was no opposition. SFPD Northern Station had no added conditions, and here to speak with you tonight are the owners, Stanley and Rodney.
Good evening, Commissioner. Thank you for having me here. My name is Stanley Chan, and my colleague is Ronnie and Ricky, and we're here to represent the Success Company and DBA Sex. And it's a very creative name. It's unusual, but that's one. I just want to share why this name is coming up. When I usually have I own a business, a restaurant in Burlingame called I Privé. It's like private. But then I come up with some guests and friends, and then we always say, have a toast. And then we toast, we do success. So instead of XEX, we just do a success for toasting. So that's why I come up with the name XEX for success. Yeah.
Okay.
So we are here to bring in the a new venue for the business, including mostly for karaoke. We just want to have our guests and our friend and community who want to sing, who want to enjoy music, who want to sing out a good sound, a good voice from what they want to do. And that's one of the reason that we set up the upstairs for the karaoke. And then also downstairs, we have another karaoke which for more privacy for guests that don't want to sing in public. They can sing in the room and enjoy whatever they like to hear. But the people upstairs, they can actually share the voice. And then as Caitlin mentioned, that we also have DJ. We're also bringing some single performer, some live music, but not like a band. We just had a few people to come in and then perform and share with the community. And I'm sure that it's not many karaoke is in on Pook Street. So that's why we're here to bring in different diversity, support the artists. Yeah.
Are there any questions from commissioners?
I just had a quick question. What's the address to this business?
It's 1131. It's actually two addresses before Hemlock has two upstairs and downstairs. And the downstairs is 100. And then the upstairs is 1131. At the time that we were trying to lease the space upstairs only, but the landlord does not want just to rent or lease it out. They want us to take over the space. So at the end, we decided, okay, we take this as a 1131 instead of the bottom floor. Yeah. And then we use the bottom one is for like usually on a Friday, Saturday when we have more crowded. So we open up downstairs for DJ and it has their own bar as well. And then they have a private karaoke room for, like I mentioned, for people who don't want to sing in the public, they can usually sing in the room. And then upstairs is more like a lounge for show, for guests that who also want to sing. And we have a performer upstairs as well. If we need it downstairs, we can use it up downstairs as well. So.
Unless I'm mistaken, I think there's a mosque around the corner on that same block.
In behind us on the other side, there's a mosque over there.
Yeah.
And then next to them, it had a bar.
There's
a,
yes.
At the bar.
Yeah.
So within one block, we have like 1, 2, 3, maybe 6 bar in that
right.
Block.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I just, my question, just to see, I see that you don't have any opposition on your permit, but just to see if you'd spoken to them, because I think that they had some concerns with the another permit holder of us, which is adjacent to them, but just something to put on your radar.
Yes. I mean, we, like Caitlin mentioned earlier, that we take over the chain of ownership.
Right.
It's actually Hemlock.
Yes, that was one of my spots.
It's interestingly, I mean, we actually did not own the alcohol permit license.
Okay.
We actually adding into Hemlock. We still under the Hemlock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the business model is not the model, the business itself is still under the Hemlock. We're still using the Hemlock sales tax. Somehow this is much complicated.
Yeah, no, I understand.
It's just the name change just for us to do business type by using the license.
Okay.
And now we have to we cannot change the license, alcohol license, because it belongs to them.
Right.
But we had to change the name for the entertainment license.
Right.
I'd like to make a comment just on the record to clarify. So at the state level, the liquor license level, they are managing members of the Hemlock's ABC liquor license. However, they have registered as their own corporate entity with the city and county of San Francisco under XEX or SEX's business account number. So they will have their own entertainment permit, their own health and fire permits. So they are a separate corporate entity, but they have been added on as a managing member of the liquor license. So just wanted to make that clarification, which has no implication. The liquor license managing member has no implication to this application.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions from commissioners? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You may have a seat.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on the permit application?
No public comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Any discussion? Is there a motion?
I move to approve the staff recommendations.
Seconded.
And second. All right.
Okay.
Please.
Commissioner Davis?
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio?
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
And Commissioner Schlander?
Aye.
All right. Congratulations. Your permit application is conditionally granted. Please follow up with Deputy Director Acevedo for next steps.
There he comes.
President Blyman returns. I cede my control of the meeting over to him.
It's mine.
All right. All right. We're on the final agenda item now. Commissioner, comments and questions.
Dylan, Laura, and I have put together with other qualified individuals a panel discussing overdose prevention and LGBTQ nightlife, and it is at a really cool place called the Stud on the 20th of August. So please come by and check it out.
Yeah, it's going to be at 6 p.m. on August 20th at the Stud. It's free. There's no charge to attend. We're going to have, in addition to Dylan and Maria from the Entertainment Commission, we will also have Puccina Rude, the drag queen who has appeared in our educational video. It's going to be moderated by Marky B. And Joseph Pred, a former entertainment commissioner, is also going to be on it, along with Al Chen from Drug Policy Alliance. And I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation. August is Overdose Awareness Month. And I think we are also trying to do some outreach in a couple of other different entertainment venues during the month as well.
May I just add those specific events that are confirmed? Because I think last time the meeting, they were not fully confirmed. So in addition to the Studs event on the 20th of August, we have at Oasis for the Reparations Drag Program that hosted by Nikki Jizz. That's Saturday, August 16th. We will be there passing out naloxone and promoting that work. And then also Daytime Realness the very next day, Sunday, August 17th, and that starts at 2 o'clock.
If anyone, commissioners, want to come and join us, let us know.
I am currently on my fifth out of six multi-thousand person block parties in 5 weeks. I'm absolutely frazzled. I don't know how I somehow turned into Anthony Schlander out of the blue. I'd never asked for this. It just was thrust upon me. But the life in the city this summer is so much more vibrant than even last summer. We had a bunch of big concerts, but downtown is numbers are significantly up, significantly over last year, and not just for me, from others that we're talking to. So you drive around downtown, life is back, it's happening. So it's great to watch. Is there any public comment on our final agenda item?
There is none.
All right. Public comments done. We'll adjourn this meeting at 7:04 p.m.